you.
Item number four is a plan of subdivision for 3280 St. Mary's Road and 151 Fraser Road under file DAS 17 of 2009. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following item will also be heard at the same time, namely, item five, which is an application for a variance for 3280 St. Mary's Road and 151 Fraser Road under file DAV 129749/2009B. And just for somebody just filled out a form for item two, which was an excess animal permit for
Trombley.
For Trombley, and it was already dealt with, whoever that is.
Did somebody fill out a form for the Trombley excess animal permit?
Paul Rabiot.
Proceed. Okay, and the applicant for 151 Fraser Road, you're here?
Yes.
Could you state your name and address for the record?
My name is Jim Watling. I'm a land surveyor at Baldick and Wright. Business address is 117 4th Street.
We have him? Should be here.
Jim Watley?
Watling.
One second while I Watling. I gotcha. Okay, Jim, welcome, and can you give us a brief overview of what the applications are about?
The application is to subdivide some existing surplus land, some of which fronts on Fraser and some of which fronts on St. Mary's Road. My client, Beard Landscaping, is developing this property. They've had some designs in the past to develop the property and had several submissions to the City of Winnipeg, and none were accepted until this one that we're proposing right now. It basically increases the size of Mr. Beard's home lot, which is at 151 Fraser Road, up to 5 acres from the 2 acres that exist now. It keeps the frontage lot, the large lot for his business, which is Root Landscaping, and the other four interior lots consistent with the development of the area for new housing. There are several issues that we'd like to bring up as far as the ACG report, and I think Shirley can probably speak to some of that. The cost for the development agreement of we accept $200 an acre and up to $1,200 an acre fee that's assessed here, and I believe the administration is in favor of that. As well, we noticed in the planner's report about the development of no wells permitted. Our client had a study done about 4 or 5 years ago by the same firm that did this study from Wardrop Engineering, which said that the area in question could actually support 900 wells in the area, and there's no way there's at least that many in the area right now. So we would like that condition actually to be waived if at all possible. If not, we would like to have an engineering company do a further study on the suitability for individual wells for these lots.
Okay.
Just on the wells issue, that might be of concern to people in the area, I bet. We don't give the ultimate permit, though, do we?
It's the province that probably does that, I would think.
So what, I'm just wondering what, Shirley, I'm mostly talking to you. How can we say yes or no on a well exactly? I know we can, I guess we could say no, but ultimately, if an application is made, what is the idea for water, I guess? Maybe I'll start with that then. It would be cisterns? Is that how it would work? Or?
I guess that would be the only alternative.
Yeah, you'd have to have a holding tank for sure to hold your water trucked in, basically that. Or I guess the alternative is to tap off an existing well, which has the same effect, really, drawing down the...
Yes, yeah.
All right, well, we can...
So what is the approval process for wells?
Well, they make an application. As far as I'm aware, they make an application. They're supposed to apply for a permit to the province. And my understanding was that...
That's correct.
My understanding was that the province is not issuing permits in this area. Like, that's what I've been told. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not. So I guess what I'm asking you is...
You can apply for a permit and see what happens.
No, but have you checked it out, though?
No, this is the first time we saw that condition. And the planner, all we received was the HEB report. We didn't receive the planner's report.
Okay.
Well, before we let you go, I'll tell you right now, the idea of the wells thing is a difficult one because we can only deal with the science and the research that we have and what our administration has given me.
Yeah.
So if there's no movement on the wells, what does that do to your project?
I don't think it's a deal breaker, but it's definitely going to impose an undue restraint on development of that property.
Okay. All right.
You know, unless the city wants to extend the existing water services down St. Mary's and fund them that way.
At your cost?
Not on your life.
So we have a recommendation that says no wells. You have a report that says there can be more wells.
That's right.
And you're willing to go to,
I guess, the only way to
another
handle
engineering study?
Yeah, that would be fine. And, you know, whatever comes up from that, if they
at
say,
your
well,
cost?
Well, I guess it'll have to be, yes, for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Shirley, did you want to say something?
Mr. Chair, I can advise, Water and Waste did advise me that there was a report done some 5 years ago that basically recommended that lots be no smaller than 5 acres because of the water salinity problem. That would require an amendment to the secondary plan, which hasn't been done yet.
Right.
Okay. You're going to get a chance to come back and summarize any opposition.
The variance part of the application is the very lot, from just simply very lot sizes down from the 5 acres down to 2 acres. For the 4 additional lots. That's the second part of the, and that's the only reason.
The home lot there, the number, I take it that's the number 1 coming off Fraser.
Correct.
Is that's a residential lot, you said?
Yes, it is.
Is there a reason it's kind of shaped like that particularly, or
it's just the way the land has been divided up in the past? I guess the best thing I can say is that it's almost unusable if we were to try to subdivide it in something else, and also gives Mr. Beard an opportunity to increase his lot from the existing 2 to 5 acres. It gives him a little extra more property.
Okay, I understand. Okay, we'll get you back for rebuttal, I'm sure.
You bet.
Okay, we have a few folks listed in opposition. You can just in support. You could signify your support, or you're welcome to come down and state your reasons for support, but you don't have to. First, the gentleman is Paul Vert, or Veet?
Veert.
Veert, in support? Okay, yeah, thank you. Joyce Vert, in support? Dwight Allen and Ramey Allen, in support. Bill Lepushnik, in support. Tom Kermilko, in support. Okay. Do we have the rest? We have several in opposition. I'll read your names out again. You can just signify your opposition, or you can come and make a short presentation as to the reasons for your opposition. Rose Glenn Gibbings. Okay, in opposition?
Yep.
Okay, I could put you down for information and for information. He's for information. They are for information. Gary Coley.
Yeah.
You're against? Okay. Okay. Karen Burwash, lawyer representing Mr. and Mrs. Stopra. In opposition. Welcome. Welcome, Karen. You have 10 minutes to state your reasons for being in opposition.
Thank you, Karen. Good to see you again.
We represent Mr. and Mrs. Stopra, who live at 165 Fraser Avenue. If you look at the map of the proposed subdivision, they are immediately adjacent to Mr. Vert's property. They are to the east of Mr. Vert's property. And there's approximately 20 feet difference between their house and where Mr. Vert lives. So they are shown as being right to the east of it. Their concern with respect to the proposed variation relates not so much to the subdivision for the residential properties, which would be lots 2, 3, 4, and 5 on the proposed plan. Mr. and Mrs. DePura's main concern is with respect to Mr. Vert's own residential lot being extended to the shape that it is, which is beyond the 2 acres that the other lots beside him are. He's indicated on the plan as lot 1, and I think Councillor Steeves had already asked about the odd shape of that proposal. Their concerns relate to the fact that, as you can see, all of the other lots, starting at lot 1 along Fraser Road, are 2-acre lots. That was a subdivision that was done at that time, and they're all of that size. The concern relates primarily to the issue of whether or not Mr. Vert is going to be using this property for something other than a residential property. And that concern has been raised by virtue of the fact that there has been a road that has been developed already with respect to this property. And if I could just perhaps refer you to the photographs. The first photograph that we have that we've marked as A is Mr. Vert's home. And as you'll see, there's a fairly substantial driveway that enters onto his property. That driveway continues along the side of his house, which borders Mr. and Mrs. Stripper's property. And as you can see in picture B, there are cars that are parked there. There are gravel, other things that are deposited. In pictures C, D, and E, we've included those just to show you the relationship between the two properties. Picture C is Mr. and Mrs. Stopra's home, and that is their backyard area. The trees that are shown on the right-hand side of the picture are the trees that divide their property from Mr. Vert's property. And as you can see in picture D, the same, that's a picture from their deck where you see the row of trees that are there that marks the dividing point between the two properties, and that's the same in picture E. What is of concerning to our client is along those trees and along the length of their property and the length of Mr. Vert's property has been the establishment of a gravel road, and that's shown in pictures F, G, and H, where you can see, particularly in photograph F, where the road has been developed. There's gravel that's been hauled in, and that road parallels their backyard. And picture I also shows the road as well. And the concern that Mr. and Mrs. Stopra have is that this road starts from the end of the more formal driveway that Mr. Vert has, goes along the length of the dividing part of the property, and then turns turns east and then proceeds on a westerly direction through the longer portion of the extended lot. And I can perhaps just provide so the road
that has been developed and shown in the pictures, we've outlined just in terms of its direction where it parallels in purple. So it goes alongside the Stapura property and then goes across to the other part of the property. Now, the concern that we have with respect to this is that with a road of this size being put in, it would seem to suggest that something other than just a garden shed or a shed to keep your lawnmower, that would be there. That the size of this road suggests that there's going to be a number of vehicles that are going to be traveling up and down this road. And our client's concern is that there's going to be some type of commercial or quasi-commercial shed or building being put on this extended lot, which necessitates this kind of road. It begs the question, if it's not going to be anything that's going to involve vehicular traffic, why do they need to have this road? So by having this lot larger than the other lots, that's the primary concern that our clients have, is that this road suggests there's going to be other usage beyond the rest of the neighborhood, which is all residential in two-acre lots. As you'll see in the plan where we have it circled, Mr. Vert has a landscaping business as part of this property, and that's shown where we have the circle. And it's a concern that this is going to be used somehow in conjunction with that. By virtue of this road being in place, it begs the question of what's going to be happening. With the road going in and suggesting that there's going to be something other than just normal residential use, that raises the question, again, of what's going to be the consequence: noise, trucks, dust, safety issues if there's going to be larger equipment that's going to be going through that area, when all the surrounding area is strictly residential, single-family homes, like Mr. and Mrs. Stapura's home. The other main issue is, if I can refer you to photographs K, L, and M, and I think this comes to a certain extent with the issue of the wells, is the question of whether there's proper drainage as well for expanding this area into that kind of lot. As you'll see on these pictures where the road has already been elevated, where this road has been put in, there are some drainage issues where water is already accumulating on that property significantly. And our concern, of course, is that if this is allowed and this road continues, that there's going to be drainage issues. My understanding is that the property had previously, Mr. Vert had previously had a two-acre lot like all the rest of the neighbors in his subdivision, and that the other area that he's proposing for a subdivision had previously been subdivided into five-acre lots. So certainly the use of the land could be used in accordance with the zoning bylaw without a need for a variation. The variation seems to be simply to give him a larger lot, which raises these concerns. My understanding is as well that with respect to the issue of wells, that the other homes, the most recent homes that were put into on the Fraser Road area, were not allowed to have wells, and that had been a requirement, and they were required to haul their water. So certainly a larger subdivision that's going to have wells imposed on it is also a concern because of the issue of the water and other concerns. So again, it's primarily the extension of Mr. Vert's lot beyond the two-acre lot, similar to the other areas, that is the concern.
Okay.
Yes, we are similar. So we live only 20 feet away from the border, and we had a holiday like yesterday. There is no holiday with Mr. Vert. There's always strangers coming in and out. There's always constant different vehicles coming in, different people. We cannot enjoy and relax in our backyard or our deck at all. There's so much dust, there's so much noise, there's so much strangers at all hours of they start work at 7:30 in the morning and they go on till dusk. I mean, we cannot leave our place like this with a piece of wine.
One other point I would make, just with respect to photographs N and O, we just submitted those to give a sense of how close the houses are, so that any impact from one property certainly has an impact on the other property, because the houses, despite the size of the lots, are relatively speaking close together, and there isn't, it's not an area where there are fences or other things that would buffer noise that would be forthcoming.
Okay.
And we also have a petition that Sarah was able to... a number of neighbors who weren't able to be here this afternoon.
Okay. questions?
Yes.
If there are any, Councillor Steeves?
Just to... Yeah, I understand your primary concern is commercial development. That this lot that we're talking about, the this lot would be now going to a residential zone, correct? Do I have that right? This one?
John?
Lot one.
Yes, lot one is residential. Yeah, it's already residential.
What's that?
Yes.
Yes, okay, sorry.
Yes.
Yeah. Because you're aware it's that the lot would be going to a residential zoning. Now, what it's the zoning right now that
5 acres, and that could that opens the door for many other options because now it is over 5 acres. It can becomes a different zoning issue.
Well, at the moment, this piece of land is the current zoning. Sorry, the current is what? But the
zone RR5, which is 5 acres.
But would there be a business use permitted on it right now?
Under
or a commercial
RR5?
Use?
Some limited agricultural uses are permitted. I think of RR5 as the old A5 district.
Tell you what, here's my question. I'll drill right down here to what exactly I'm asking you. In terms of use, based on the designation currently versus what is being proposed to go to, what would be the changes in permitted use?
Well, first, it's not a rezoning. It's just a long-form subdivision. It's just the creation of a road. They already have their zoning.
Right.
We're not rezoning this. So it's staying as RR5, which underneath that is single-family dwellings are permitted, agricultural cultivation, a stable or riding academy is conditional. The uses that are allowed there now will continue. All they're doing is creating lots with a street, so it's a long form subdivision. There is no change in zoning.
And the street is from Ford down to the cul-de-sac.
Yeah, that's why this is a public hearing. If that street wasn't being created, it would be a short form subdivision.
So if this were to be granted today, I think the concern is that there'd be an intense commercial business use on this property. Would that be allowed?
No, just what's permitted there now, which would be like a stable or riding academy, a post office.
We're not putting a post office.
Well, our large agriculture shed that prohibits him from storing fertilizer, salts, and chemicals over on his business 3280 St. Mary's.
Well, here's the thing. We can't. Downzone. I mean, we can't downzone it, but we can not grant any additional uses, right?
That is correct. Landscape, garden, contractor, productions, conditional use, that's already conditional that you can make his application for conditional use, and that would be a public hearing at the Board of Adjustment.
So do you follow?
I do follow. I think the concern, and I understand what you're saying, is that the use is not going to necessarily change. But I think what the concern is that the larger lot allows for potentially more things to be placed on it. And again, that there has to be some reason why this gravel road has been placed there. If we were talking about it still being a residential property and that was the only intents and purposes, I guess it's the size itself that sort of lends the question as to why do you need this lot so big with this road going through it if there's not going to be the intention of some other type of use, whether it's allowed or it's not allowed. But it just sort of begs the question of why would you,
we can ask that of the applicant as they come back.
All those uses are permitted now on that large piece of land.
Yeah, like it's one big contiguous lot right now, which can be used for that purpose in any event.
But I think I think the concern is it's a difference if it's a 2 acre lot, which ends at the same distance that everyone else's lot does, and everyone has the same amount of space to do with what they wish, where this has a substantially bigger area, therefore substantially bigger area to do things. And again, you know, the fact that this road has already been installed seems to suggest that there's going to be some fairly heavy traffic going through that area.
It was 800 feet from Fraser Road to the end of this extended road. It's going to be about 850 feet. There's not going to be anybody walking that area. There's going to be
high-traffic road then.
But just so we're clear, though.
There's no public road coming off Fraser Road.
Yeah, there's no pub, but beyond that, the uses that you are concerned about, and I think I understand exactly what you're concerned about, it's I think those are prohibited uses.
Yeah, they're prohibited, like contractors, if he wants to do a landscape garden supply, he or she could do that right now as a conditional use. More commercialized operation, like a retail store.
But is a conditional use already obtained, or would it have to be applied for?
It would have to be applied for.
In a separate. But I'm talking about what could they do at the moment without any application? That's what I think.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, right now it's just a house. I think riding stables,
post office, yeah, yeah.
Like agricultural type use, single family dwelling.
Yeah, I mean, it's like anybody's house. I mean, I guess I could set up a 7-Eleven on my lot in South St. Patel, I suppose, but it would be illegal, right?
That's true. But I think what Mrs. Tapira is making the point, having a road going from where the driveway, the sort of more formal driveway by the house ends, and having a road going down 2 acres, this is substantially longer because the lot is longer, and it also goes all the way across the other side of it because of the size of the lot. So there's going to be more traffic. It's going to be a longer distance for the traffic. And there's also been some concerns that Mrs. Tapira has raised that there has not always been compliance with previous orders that have been granted to Mr. Bird and conditional use. So that's a concern and issue as well. But this seems to be expanding this property in terms of size well beyond what the neighborhood on Fraser Road has. And with this road suggests that there's going to be, if not other uses, a great deal of traffic going up and down because there would be no other reason to be installing such a sizable road in this property. This goes beyond just a normal driveway.
We'll ask about all that.
We'll ask about that.
Thank you.
We have a few people in opposition, and keep the meeting going. Registered in opposition is Sari Foss. Is that Sari?
Yeah.
Okay, you can come forward.
I'm not concerned about the development of the other lots, i.e. the other four lots, the subdivision of the larger lots. What I'm concerned is with Fraser Road. He has a 2-acre lot, and there's already lots of trucks going back and forth on that road. It's a very short road. It's in fact 0.5 kilometers from the service to the end of the road. And the traffic has increased considerably. Basically, I cannot open my windows facing north because of the dust.
Whereabouts do you live?
I live 224
Fraser Road.
So he's obstacles from me, two bikes.
So you're concerned about the traffic coming off of Fraser Road?
That's right. So just we're 224. On which side of the which one is that exactly? I don't have the numbers on this map.
Opposite to him.
Opposite.
Across the road. Okay, gotcha.
So what happens in his backyard doesn't really affect me personally, other than the noise that you hear all the time.
Yeah.
But the traffic of trucks going back and forth, going through his property. I don't know where they're going because I can see past beyond the house. But certainly there is traffic.
Okay.
So my concern is that this is a residential area. There is a 2-acre lot. It's supposed to be quiet and peaceful. And so if I'm going to have trucks going in there all the time, then that defeats the purpose of moving away from the city. That's my concern.
Okay.
I understand. I do understand. I'll put that to the developer for last week. I think that's the same, similar concern to the last person.
Yeah. It's the traffic of big trucks and machinery. They're there all the time.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. In opposition, Jackie Bailey. Mm-hmm. Please state your name and address for the record.
Jackie Bailey, 179 Fraser Road.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, basically I just want to reiterate some of the concerns that my neighbors have already shared. We built bought our property in 1997 with the assumption that would all be residential. When we moved in, we had two young children, And since Baird has moved in, it's been very difficult for our children to enjoy a residential life because we have no sidewalks. Biking up and down the street is very, very dangerous with the vehicles that go down there right now. And with increased vehicular traffic, I'm very concerned with the safety of the children on our road. Like we mentioned before, it's a short road, and kids bike up and down there, play on their they play all the time, and I'm very, very concerned about the safety because the increased traffic that comes down, and it's constantly going down, and it turns on to their lot. Large vehicles, front-end loaders, all sorts of things going down there. And sometimes at quite high speeds, if the truck is empty, it's going down at very high speeds. So I'm concerned about the safety. And also, historically, there has not been a lot of compliance in terms of regulations that have been put on him. There has not necessarily been a lot of compliance, and when we were told that the city would, I think the term was at one point, police him, they didn't do a very good job. So as a resident, I'm very, very disappointed that this happened, and I really would like to see the kids in our community be able to play safely and not have to listen to the constant drone of vehicles in the backyard. Sunday was a beautiful afternoon, but at 7 o'clock in the morning, vehicles started, large vehicles, loaders were going back and forth from 7 o'clock in the morning straight through to the afternoon.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Okay, that was Jackie Bailey. Georgina Yurima, in opposition. Welcome, Georgina.
Oh, welcome. Glad to see you guys again. My name is Georgina Jurima, president of the St. Germain Brumette Community Association, appearing in opposition to this application. 2-acre subdivision in this area of St. Germain Brumette was allowed in the secondary plan of 1977 by the council of the day. They supported it, even though the St. Germain Resident and Property Owners Association did not, and expressed their concern for the effect that it would have on the well water. Over 30 years later, residents are still concerned about development and its effect on the quality of their drinking water. This application should be denied for the following reasons. The province controls water and issues the permits for wells. If a subdivision application is approved and a building permit is obtained, the resident can apply to the province for a well permit and get it approved. It is most important that water issues be resolved before additional wells are drilled, especially in the area that this subdivision is being considered. As well, the issues concerning water have to be addressed because the city wants to proceed with a secondary plan review.
Okay. Very succinct. Questions for Georgina?
Sure.
Very straightforward issue. I understand you completely. I have a lot of sympathy for what you're saying, Georgina. I have no questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll give you a copy. It concludes the ritual.
Talked about
Mr.
Dr. Ethan Beauty
presented to City Council regarding
yes.
Water and the secondary plan?
Yeah. In opposition, Masoud Hariat. Welcome. State your name and address for the record.
My name is Masoud Horia, 135 Fraser Road.
Okay.
With all due respect, I just want to go a little bit more blunt about it. You are sitting here, you know, the hearing is today. You might approve it, might not approve it, and tomorrow we have to deal with this issue, all of our, all the neighbors. This is the first time that the whole neighborhood, if you look at that petition, everybody signed it. This is the first time that everybody signed it, got together, got united, because they all feel that this is not right.
Order.
Because you are his wife.
Okay, order. Just, order, please.
Yeah. We talk about puppet issue later on. Anyhow, everybody got united. Everybody signed it. We have our own differences, but everybody signed it. We got united because we all feel strongly this is not right. And I appreciate if you go to the history of the past of this gentleman. He's done many things without having a permit. He has many dealings with the city, and he goes ahead without having a respect or value with the rule of law or city bylaws. So we can approve it. Okay, he's not allowed to put any building or anything, but by the time he's done it, and we go and complain or do anything, it's too late. So the other thing, for example, excuse me, he built an addition to his house without any permit. His lot was very high. The water was coming to our lot. Nobody could do anything about it. It took him a long, long time. By the time we go through the bureaucracy of the city, with all due respect, it's too late, or it takes a long, long time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. In opposition, Sri Contra Gary Coley.
Well, I'd like to just echo some of the comments of my neighbors. My name is Gary Coley. I'm at 84 Fraser Road. I've actually been there since 1994, which I'm probably one of the longest serving residents on the street currently. And I've got young family. I've got a 6 and 8 year old. And I'll tell you, when I bought this property,
where do you live, Mr. Coley?
84.
Yeah. Where? What's that?
How about if I
here on the south side, right?
Map there. Which one are you here?
I'm right here.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm on the bottom left-hand corner.
Yeah.
On the south side. Again. And it just seems to me that there's absolutely no planning going on in that region. And if you look at the lots, they're all 2-acre lots. There's a couple of 4-acre lots, but they're geometrical. They're symmetrical. They're basically square. Now we're looking at making changes to. Mr. Steves himself said it's just an odd, irregular shape. Like, I would like us to take a step back and figure out a master plan of what we want, you know, this area to look like. The whole subdivision, it's all haphazard. When you first enter our street at the corner of St. Mary's and, it looks, you've got expensive homes on the street, and we'd like to be, you know, maintain our property values and just want to have, you know, a bit more structure to what's going on. And I think that I have friends on Forbes Road, which is, a few blocks away, and, they've got 5-acre properties, and they're putting massive, sheds there, which would look really out of shape on Fraser Road. So even if that is doable on a 5-acre property based on the current rules, it'll look grossly out of shape, especially backing onto all these 2-acre properties. So.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Coley?
No, I think the issue has been stated already. I understand.
Yeah. Thank you.
In opposition, Alan Fogg.
Actually, I'll stand by my wife's comments, except to say that we're at 124 Fraser Road.
Okay.
I'll verify our address.
Okay.
It's noise and dirt.
All right.
Gotcha.
Great. Thank you. Is there anyone else who's in opposition who didn't fill out a form? Whose name I haven't called? I have one more person for information. Dave Penner or Pennett?
Penner.
Okay. For information. I believe I've covered everyone on this application. Could we have the applicant please come forward?
Tim
Watt. We heard a lot of concerns there. This is a residential subdivision. It's not a commercial development of Mr. Veer's property. The big lot is for his own personal use.
That's lot six?
That's lot one.
Lot one?
Yeah, that's the big residential lot. It's zoned currently R5, which is a residential zoning. Mr. Veer is not planning on doing anything untoward to compromise that zoning. As far as the equipment and road on his property, it is going to be used as a driveway. He's actually building the lot up now to conform with the drainage plan that would be prepared for the subdivision. Some of the other comments, a lot of conjecture of what's going to happen to the property after it gets developed. Strictly that is conjecture. As far as everybody being in opposition, I have a petition here of people in favor of it. I'm happy to give you that, which are all around his particular address as well.
Actually, some of them are 2 miles away.
Order, please. Someone's appearing in delegation. Continue.
So as far as doing anything in that would compromise the zoning, that's handled at the permit process at the City of Winnipeg. If Mr. Veert wishes to do anything different, he would have to go to a Board of Adjustment or a variance hearing, which everybody will have fair comment then to speak. This is simply a application for a plan of subdivision, nothing more.
Okay.
As far as the water issue goes, we've stated we'd like to have a full scientific report, which we will pay for, to see if it is viable for the wells to be put on those properties. And if so it isn't, because the science says it isn't, then that's what will happen. We're not proposing to do anything to compromise people's drinking water.
Okay. Any questions?
I mean, this one lot that's coming off Fraser, is this a planning imperative based on the size of the other lots in the cul-de-sac?
Lot one?
Yeah.
No, that's a choice. They designed that lot.
So, like, why not just create larger pie lots on 3 and 4 and just not have the extension out from Fraser Road?
Yeah, Mr. Veert would like to have the additional property assigned to his lot. He's subdividing right now currently 26 acres, basically giving up almost all the 26 acres. It leaves him with nothing at his own other than the 2 acres. He wants to put a double garage in the back or whatever to store his snowmobiles and some of his other personal equipment, and that's more suitable for that application.
Well, the problem is the size of the lot is causing a great deal of concern in the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's conforming with the existing zoning, though. I mean, it's a 5-acre lot. That's what we're saying.
But he must go to school.
Yeah.
I'm just going to bring this up one more time. No comments from the gallery, please. This is a public hearing. You've all had your opportunity to be heard. Thank you.
Are you the heavy coming in to enforce law and order?
You want me to?
Yeah, okay.
Are you finished?
But go ahead. You can ask. I'll just think.
I just want to clarify. Several citizens talked about the heavy equipment going down the lot. So I believe it's lot one. And that's short-term for the lot grading?
That's correct.
That's currently going on, so it's going to end.
Yeah. All those lots in the back, those 2, 3, and 4, also have to be built up to conform with the city's flood protection level. They all have to be above a certain elevation. So there'll have to be fill added to those lots, actually. And that'll all come off of Forbes Road, basically. It wouldn't go to back of his lot. He's just building up his own personal lot right now to conform with the zoning.
Okay, so the equipment is just for his own personal lot?
That's correct.
So if this is approved, all of the construction trucks and machinery will come off Forbes.
That's correct.
Go ahead, Councillor. Sir.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, if I might just
go ahead.
Yes. The objection seems to be centered around misunderstandings, conjecture and speculation and fear-mongering. I think the first problem is that people believe that a five-acre lot will allow Mr. Veer to do something that he presently can't do on his two-acre lot. I think Councillor Steeves clarified that, in fact, he can do nothing more on the five-acre lot than he can presently do on the two-acre lot. The concern that because there is an eight-foot-wide road or driveway going to the rear of his lot, that somehow that is suspicious and suggests that there's going to be some kind of economic activity going on there where there is absolutely no basis for that suspicion. The neighbor that complained about that, in fact, has a road which is wider than that going to their detached double garage. So what Mr. Beard is doing is nothing more than making access to the rear of his property, and that in no way suggests there's going to be economic activity. There he is. His business has a lot of property on it. It's not like he's short of space to run his business. This is his home. It's one of the nicest homes in the area. It's well maintained, well manicured. He's not going to be running and parking bulldozers and front end loaders all over the place and creating some kind of problem. It's just, as Mr. Watling mentioned, it's just a short term inconvenience in order to get the level of the property up to city grading standards. It's nothing more than that, and the rest is simply conjecture and speculation and some unfounded representations that somehow Mr. Beard doesn't obey city orders, and there's no evidence of that. And in fact, our information is that he's always complied with what's been required of his residential premises there. Okay, thank you.
Here's the thing, I'll just lay it out more. I know the Residents Association has come forward and said they're not happy with the plan. Georgina speaks on behalf of the Residents Association in the area. I know that's never an easy job. I have no problem with the cul-de-sac and the lots going in and that being set up. I take no issue with that. I know there are going to be people in the area who take an issue with that. But that's life in the big city, and we have to sort of work through these things. There's two things I don't think I'm prepared to do, gentlemen, today. The first is to expand the lot on Fraser Road. I think fairly stated, the people who live on Fraser Road, every single person who moved on there, whether they signed for or against, I think it's fair to say that each one of them had an expectation that the lot sizes would be what they would be. I mean, to sort of overnight more than double the lot size of one of them, to me, seems unfair. The other thing I'm not prepared to do is to allow the drilling of wells in the area. So I guess what I'm asking you is, given those two things that I'm not prepared to support today, are you okay with going ahead with this if we allow the four cul-de-sac lots with the access coming off Forbes? Because I take no issue with that. I'm prepared to grant that today. But I'm not comfortable with, and a lot of it's based on the concerns from the community, to grant the larger lot size to make it ununiform with the other lots on Fraser Road. So I don't want to put you guys in a box. If you guys want a month to think about it, we can bring it back. You guys can look at your plan, or we can go forward with something like that.
We've had several other plans before planning in this regard too, as well,
right,
to do something with that, and they've been rejected. We had a five lot plan proposed for that back end, where we would come down the cul-de-sac, would come a little bit deeper into that piece, and we would spin off five lots off of that. And that was rejected by the planners.
Have you ever just done the... I mean, I don't know what your frontages are like on the cul-de-sac. If we... There's enough room at the back end, certainly, but...
What say you, planners? Is there?
You can make lot 3 and 4 bigger and reduce the size of lot 1.
And that would be acceptable?
Yeah. Our only concern was the number of lots on the public road. The fire and safety, you can't have a long cul-de-sac with, you know, more than 5 or 6 lots on it. But you can certainly have them bigger. Lots 3 and 4 can be enlarged.
How does that affect the public advertisements and the, I guess, the legalities of what we advertise? Now if this occurs, we
probably might. Probably what we advertise is the most concern, and I've seen subdivision plans change actually after community at PMD and EPC. This right. Internal lot lines are not usually are advertised. It's usually the location of the public road and where it comes out on the Forbes Road is the what we're really advertising, and or if it's a zone, like a rezoning. On this one, that would be a lot line. It wouldn't affect the advertising.
A lot of the problem is also down in that southwest corner of the subdivision. That little goofy foot shape piece is sort of left out on its own. Even if you were to extend those lots down there, it's not going to.
Well, no matter what you do, you're going to have some odd shaped lot, doubtless, and a huge, two huge pylots. But it is what it is, I suppose. I mean, I was thinking if you would bend the cul-de-sac around, maybe. Using the exact same lot sizes, maybe there's room for another lot. I haven't heard today from anybody that they're opposed to the actual residential lots going in the body of the development. It seems to me what the residents are concerned about is suddenly changing the Fraser Road allotments based on, you know, their expectations when they bought their property, which is fair enough, I think.
I don't think we're expecting anything different, though. Mr. Beert is it's a residential lot for him. I don't think he's planning on that. I think all the complaints were against Mr. Beert for his possible landscaping business and a lot of heavy traffic going through there. This is just his residential property that he's going to keep as a residence.
I guess what I'm saying is that these are huge residential lots as they are. They're huge.
Yeah, I've been there.
I mean, they should be big enough for anybody to have a residential life on one of these lots. And that includes parking whatever personal vehicles and building whatever garages you need. I just don't feel the need to expand a lot, and the community didn't frankly seem that thrilled about it. So that's what I'm suggesting. Now, can we make that order today, or am I overstepping my authority?
To change the lot configurations?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do that. Councillor Steeves, if you were to increase the size of lots 3 and 4, you would then be creating 2 lots that are bigger than what's expected in the area instead of just one. It seems to me you've got extra land there that has to go somewhere. So it either goes into 2 lots where you have 2 big, huge lots, or goes to Mr. Veer.
The difference might be, though, Tom, is if you look at the access to the cul-de-sac, there's going to be no room for extra roads and the like going out to the cul-de-sac. And as people are buying these undoubtedly very, very nice houses that are going to be going on these lots, there'll be none of that happening. So,
Mr. Beard has to sell these lots. He's certainly not going to put something on his lot that would devalue his investment and make any of these lots unacceptable or unattractive. I mean, there is a fear-mongering here that because he has a 5-acre lot, all hell's going to break loose and there's going to be some kind of...
I'm actually, rightly or wrongly, my mind is made up on that point, Mr. Camilo. And with all due respect, all I'm trying to do right now is to just ask you folks, I don't want to put you in a box on this. If you can't live with this and you want an extra month to think about it, then fine. I'll give you that option, but I'm telling you the two absolutes that I'm not comfortable with. I'm not comfortable with expanding the Fraser Road lots, and I'm not comfortable allowing wells to be drilled. Those two things I won't do, I'm afraid. So if you want to just go with the 4-lot allowance for the new cul-de-sac area, I'm prepared to do that today, if that's what you want me to do. But those are my two absolutes, I guess. I'm trying to do you the courtesy of letting you know, so you'll have a chance to address it right now.
or if you want a chance to think about it. Because I know how these things sometimes work. You go and you find out maybe this doesn't work or that doesn't work, then you might want to come back with a different idea.
If we could have a few minutes to talk it over with our client, maybe that could resolve something. Is that possible?
Not more than a few, because we have several other public hearings occurring there.
Yeah, well, it would actually probably reduce the need for the variances, but I can't guarantee that because I'd have to calculate it, because you're certainly adding to lot 3 and 4, so you would probably reduce the number of variances. You wouldn't need a variances for that lot 1 because that's already an existing lot. And I think it would reduce the variances you need for lots 3 and 4, so you'd only need 2 variances. But I can't calculate the size of lot 3 and 4, the new one that I just showed you. So until he draws it up, until Vinny draws it up, then I'll tell you the size of it.
Okay, let's start to
see if
the thermal runs.
We
can just get that direction in place.
And then we'll have a new draw.
So why don't we just tell these guys?
Yeah, why don't we do that?
Yeah, that's how they're over.
Can we...
They can withdraw.
They can withdraw, or they can do
that. Yeah.
So can you go get them and we'll bring them in? And you want to lay this over?
I'm saying as a minor change. They want to totally redo the plan. Yeah. We'd want to pay to advertise that.
So they're here.
This is just like
Okay.
If they were to change.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, we've heard from Mr. Steves, and it's pretty clear that Mr. Steves doesn't like a big 5-acre lot. He'd rather have 2 4-acre lots, and we're just wondering what the other councillor's position might be on the issue.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's welcome, Dan can say whatever he wants to say, but while you're out there, we had a discussion. If, as I understand it now, and talking with the planners, if we wind up going with the 4-acre lots, the 4 lots, rather, off the cul-de-sac, and then not changing the Fraser Road allotment, we have to adjourn it anyway to get the new plan drawn up. It has to be re-advertised, correct?
Not re-advertised,
but it has to be redrawn up and have to come back so we can have it on the table. Okay. But I think everyone knows what we want ultimately. So that's my position, and that's the way it will have to go. We'll have to bring it back next month and have a drawing in front of us, right?
Sure.
Yes. I'm asking you. I'm not telling you.
No, not really. I think you could approve it accordingly. Like, if this is what you want,
right,
we would call it Schedule B, and I would get you the official drawing before P&D to the clerk.
Oh, so we actually could move ahead then?
Yeah, you can move ahead if you want to approve this.
Except for that you can't move ahead on the variance.
You can't move ahead on the variances.
So it would have to come back anyway.
So it would have to come back.
Yeah.
Can I suggest that rather than trying to move forward on the fly and amend plans that have been submitted thoughtfully, that we leave this over for a month, and
if that's your will, I know you, this is your ward, it's not St. Boniface.
Yeah.
Lay it over for a month and come back once we've all had a sober second and third look at everything. And
well, short of the applicant withdrawing their application, has to come back next month because the variance has to be on the agenda, so it has to come back next month. I've tried to be as upfront with people as I possibly can as to what I think would be possible here. I hope the residents understand, and I hope you understand. And whoever wants to come back next month, if they have any new ideas, that we'd certainly be prepared to listen to that.
Well, the one thing, I guess, the historical background here that I think is very frustrating for my client is that originally they had proposed to break up all that land and make another lot out of it, and the city objected and said, well, no, we can't do that because then there's not enough fire hose to be able to get from the fire hydrant to the back lot. So Mr. Beard said, well, okay then, I'll adjust my plan to accommodate the city's concern about fire and so on and so forth. And he's come up with a plan that is workable and that meets with the planning department. And now he's faced with this concern, saying, oh, no, you should go make five lots again.
So, well, that's the way it sometimes goes here. It's tough to do sometimes, right? There's no easy answer with these pieces of land. But
I would be concerned about that new plan, whether or not that's going to create a problem from a fire perspective, because if you have the big lots, people can build farther back, and then you're going to end up with the same problem that was the original concern. I'm sure Mr. Beard would be prepared to go back to the first plan.
Okay, well, you know what? I am prepared to listen to those types of plans. The two absolutes that I'm putting on the table right now are I am not comfortable with the drilling of more wells, and I am not comfortable with changing the lot sizes on Fraser Road. Anything, as far as I'm concerned, for next month, if people want to talk about other variations for the cul-de-sac coming in, I think it would be appropriate that we would be prepared to listen to those ideas. That's my position, personally.
Okay.
With that, I would move adjournment to next month.
Okay, so let's. There's no more questions for the delegations. You're going to move that this whole issue be adjourned until...
October 5th.
October 5th.
8th.
October 8th. For consideration then.
October 5th.
October 5th. Is there any directions that the administration or is even in a position to give directions to the administration on
Not outside of the public hearing process.
Okay.
I think he's already given those
directions. So the motion is to lay everything over to October 5th. All in favor?
Aye.
Contrary, carried.